This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
That was back to 1991, the year 2000. Hey, ask yourself this question tonight. Why does the media refuse to show you all the examples of the president repudiating vile, divisive people, white supremacists, and other racist groups? The answer is simple. They are agenda-driven. They are radical left-wing ideologues. They are hell-bent on destroying this presidency, the presidency of Donald Trump. Now, we saw it way back during the campaign. Remember, just about every major media news outlet, except the Fox News Channel, was caught red-handed. What were they doing? Colluding with the Clinton campaign. And we've also seen it with the media, their nonstop tinfoil hat, black helicopter conspiracy theories, consistently negative coverage of this president. He can do nothing right in their eyes. You may remember this Harvard study. It shows over 90% of the Clinton News Network, fake news, NBC, CBS, their coverage of the president was negative. The media cannot handle the fact that they are now being exposed as they were last night as agenda-driven and fake news. They think they can lie. They think they can call conservatives, Republicans, and the president racist, bigots, homophobes, Islamophobes, sexist, xenophobic, Islamophobic. They think they can push conspiracy theories about Russian collusion for months on end with no concrete evidence and not be called out and not be exposed. Well, tonight the media's credibility is now gone. They are nothing but propaganda outlets for leftist ideology. They are all basically a bunch of sheep who echo each other. They got their own little echo chamber. They feign moral outrage every chance they can get. They create fake crisis after fake crisis using fake news. And, of course, sources that are not identified, anonymous sources. It's gone from Russia, 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 to President Trump going to launch a nuclear war with North Korea, to, oh, my gosh, racist, racist, racist. Now they've all been exposed. And here's the saddest part of all of this. They do not care about the forgotten men and women in this country who are desperately needing solutions that voted for this president. This is a duly elected president that they want to push out of office. They are not trying to help solve this country's problems, to help the millions of Americans suffering. They don't tell the truth about what's really going on in America. Now, besides this show, how often do you hear about 50 million Americans in poverty, 50 million Americans on food stamps? By the way, 13 million more Americans on food stamps after Obama, 8 million more in poverty after Obama, 95 million Americans out of the labor force. Did they mention a million new jobs since Donald Trump's been elected president? They had the lowest labor participation rate since the 1970s. Now we have the best labor participation rate in years.
Hannity's perspective on what's going on with the media bias, and the perspective here. And, you know, you think about this in light of our conversation about William Wilberforce day across not only the America, but around the world, and the movie Amazing Grace, as we were talking about earlier in the history. And here we are, you know, so many years later, and we're still dealing with these old issues, you know, that divide us. And but here, in light of the empirical evidence of how successful black people have become, you know, it's like, you know, we want to go back and re-legislate and re-argue this deal. And you got some of these younger people who claim their right for reparations. And you know, it is astounding. I mean, this is how, again, in my perspective, how ridiculous this has become. Especially when I remind them that, you know, do you realize how many white people, and when I check about William Wilberforce, who's probably one of the key players in the war against slavery, as a Christian man, and what happened in England, how they were able to get through this, this ordeal, you know, he was white, he wasn't black that led the cause. Yes, there are some black heroes along the way, but boy, there, last time I checked, a lot of white people that gave up their lives for the sake of freedom of all peoples, and we're grateful. We're grateful for that. This is Bill Martinez.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
You better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. You better stop. Hey, what's that sound?
6 minutes after the top of the hour, this is Bill Martinez. We're coming at you live. For more information on the show, you can go to BillMartinezLive.com. Want to drop us an email? Always love to hear from you. Bill@BillMartinezLive.com. Appreciate you joining in and all your comments. Look at, I'm thick-skinned, so let it fly. Let me know your thoughts as to what we're dealing with. And, you know, and I, what I find myself considering these days is the way some of these pundits, you know, they respond to things and their worldview. I mean, they really do believe in it. I've kind of come to that conclusion. This is what they believe in. Let me bring Liz Peek in here right now because I want to get her involved in this too and get her perspective. Liz is joining us now. She's a columnist for FoxNews.com and the Fiscal Times. Miss Liz, how are we doing?
I'm very well. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Always good to have your perspective because you need to give me balance here. I always feel like after we talk, okay, all right, all is well. It's not perfect, but it's not as bad as my satirical mind may have taken it. But I just started to, you know, one of the thoughts I guess I've been struggling with for the last several months is, you know, what Donald Trump has called fake news. And I'm watching these pundits and anchors and who have heretofore been respected in the industry and hear their statements now and how, you know, maybe, you know, in my perception, I would say they've become a bit unhinged and have deviated from core journalistic principles. My opinion, my perspective. But out of this, what I'm hearing is, boy, their heart. I mean, this is what they really believe in. And I'm not trying to say that they're, you know, I'm not claiming they're goofy. You know, I'm just trying to get my brain around their brain to, you know, understand their perspective. Have you been dealing with that at all, or is it just me?
Well, I think the whole country is aware that, you know, it's called Trump derangement syndrome has set in on a lot of different fronts, but certainly with the media. And there's a reason Donald Trump goes after the media so aggressively. Number one, people are angry at the mainstream press for their bias and their obvious political favoritism, but also because it arouses his crowd. And I think also because he's really, truly frustrated. I think he can't, after getting a lot of free press during the primaries and the election season, which I think we can all agree he did receive because he drove ratings.
Exactly. Yeah. I was going to say there was a clear reason why, and that's it. He drove ratings. Yeah, that's
he
right.
He drove ratings, and, you know, so I think he kind of thought to himself that the media was his friend. And if you remember, early on in his presidency, he sat down with the editorial board of the New York Times, and he visited with the Wall Street Journal, the Washington Post. And I think he was honestly shocked that they listened politely and then turned on him savagely and have really not stopped. I mean, even Democrat friends of mine who are longtime readers of the New York Times, as I have been, are really appalled by the tenor of the coverage. It's just relentless. I mean, it doesn't even matter what section you look at. I was on a Fox Business show last night, and I got into a sort of shouting match with a Democrat co-host because he was
shouting?
No, it's shocking. Well, I had to raise my voice to drown him out. But I was saying, you know, even the reporting in the fashion section, remember the story, you may remember a story I did about how the New York Times shortly after the election wrote completely deadpan article in the fashion section about how dismayed the fashion industry was not to have Hillary Clinton be president. They wanted to dress her instead of Melania Trump, this gorgeous, fashionable woman. It was so ludicrous. And this guy next to me was like, oh, I don't read the fashion section. I said, but it's illustrative. It's illustrative of the pervasiveness of the tone. And I think we've actually heard from people working at the New York Times that there is this tone from the top that everything about the Trump administration has got to be thrown under the bus, including, by the way, it's shown up in the sports section. They highlight how sports people won't show up at the White House. I mean, it doesn't matter what it is. He can't do anything right, and everything he does is wrong. I mean, you know, so I really am appalled. Last Sunday, I just sort of glanced at the editorials from Charles Blow, and there was somebody else. And the words they used to describe this president, I wouldn't use to describe a corrupt city official. I mean, it's so disrespectful. And when Trump is out there saying they don't love our country, honestly, some of the reporting kind of seems that way. It's like, for example, and to get away from personalities, you know the Foxconn deal that where they announced they would be building a plant in Minnesota, or, Wisconsin. And, of course, that's very threatening to Democrats because that is one of those swing states that went for Trump because workers want to see job creation, and his message really resonated. So most of the coverage of that wonderful announcement, by the way, that Foxconn it was going to take a huge tech operation to Wisconsin, where they have workers trained but idle, was basically about, oh, they gave away so much in the way of tax credits. I mean, they couldn't even find the positive behind that, which is, yes, it will spawn ancillary activities, other plants by other manufacturers trying to kind of get into the supply chain there. It was really remarkable. And I think, you know, at the end of the day, you do kind of begin to question the patriotism. And I have thought about writing about that, and I thought, no, you know, that's just too harsh. But but really, you kind of begin to wonder.
Yeah, well, it's sticking out. I mean, it's so obvious. And this is one thing that the Donald Trump administration has done, is he's shedding the light of truth and veritas. And these are things that Main Street America has been dealing with for a long time. And they're like going, finally, somebody, at least we have some representation on the Beltway, is now, you know, sharing our sentiment. He gets it.
And that's why he won. That's why he won. He had a message of renewal, rejuvenation that really resonated with people who really feel the country's in trouble, that there's, you know, and here's an interesting thing, I think, Bill. You know, this whole conversation about the Navy and all the accidents that have taken place in the Pacific Fleet. You know, I think you and I have probably talked about this. The attention, and some people have tiptoed around this topic, but the attentions of our military commanders over the last 8 years have been on issues like transgenders in the military, making sure women can serve on submarines. Let's just think about that for a moment. There you have this unbelievably small, kind of combustible social fabric, isolated, difficult, putting women in that with a lot of, you know, horny young guys, excuse the expression. Yeah. What a terrible idea is that? But that has been, you know, making the Secretary of the Army, the first openly gay Secretary of the Army. I mean, really, is that the important thing, or is the important thing to have our military as forceful and competent as possible? And you begin to see now maybe it has some negative outcome from all of that.
Well, I think you're right. And Colonel Peters announced or addressed this issue clearly the other night. He talked about it in terms of military readiness. And boy, just in that term, when we talk about budget, we talk the social, you know, the societal impact. Some of these things that are off target, that are not, you know, in the crosshairs of what the military should be all about. More from Liz Peek on the other side of the break. Stay with us, America. We're looking at 15 after the top of the hour right now.
If there's a toxic chemical, biological, gas smoke emergency while traveling at home or on your job, are you protected? Are you prepared? There are over 400,000 fires in the USA every year. Up to 85% of all deaths in a fire are due to smoke inhalation. 3 minutes without air and we as humans will die. Be prepared and escape safely with our Safe Escape smoke hoods, giving you up to 60 minutes of breathable air protection. Order yours online at ase-safety.com. That's ase-safety.com. And get up to 40% off plus free shipping.
I've been taking One Rule Away for several years and experienced healing for a severe intestinal problem. A car accident and the deployment of an airbag caused two breaks and crushed bone in my left wrist. My arm swelled, yet pain was minimum. At one point, it was obvious to the eye that the bone was misaligned and x-rays confirmed the break. Surgery was immediately scheduled. Upon awakening, the doctor entered and told me I was a very unusual case. He said that when he opened up my wrist, he expected to see raw, mangled, bruised, brown meat. Instead, the tissue was healthy and pink, and even right next to the broken bone, it was pretty. Yes, he actually said I had pretty tissues. During the 3 weeks between the break and the surgery, I became obsessed with taking One Rule Away. During that time, I was taking it three times a day. It seemed my body just craved it. It all beautifully healed in record time with no scar tissue.
Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit sgn80.com.
Did you know children are 52 times more likely to suffer from identity theft than adults? Credit alerts will not fix the fallout. Liberty ID does. And here's an exciting offer just for you. Go to LibertyID.com and cover your entire family, your spouse, your children, and your parents for only $129 a year. Use promo code FREETRIAL and we'll give you the first 60 days free. That's LibertyID.com, promo code FREETRIAL. LibertyID.com. LibertyID.com.
North Korea openly threatens the U.S. and launches a new missile every other week. Their warhead of choice? Electromagnetic pulse. Such an event would cripple the U.S. power grid for years and leave millions in the dark. Are you ready? You can be with a SolarC EMP-hardened solar generator. SolarC works day in and day out to keep all of your essentials protected. That means you can have peace of mind knowing your power will be there when you most need it. Visit SolarC.us to see EMP testing. That's SolarC.us. Energy insurance for your family.
It's been said, any society is only three missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a four-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
Are you one of the 15 million men who suffer from an enlarged prostate? If your life revolves around finding the closest bathroom, if you're tired of waking up many times a night to urinate, then you need to know about Prostate Miracle. Prostate Miracle contains beta-cytosterol, which is 3,000 times stronger than salt palmetto. To claim your $10 Patriot discount, go to prostatemiracle.com and enter promo code PATRIOT. Or call 877-965-2140. That's 877-965-2140.
You didn't think they'd get away with it, did you?
Oh, you needn't have worried. I trust your taste implicitly. Thank you.
Bill Martinez, live.
Hey, we're back with the America 19 minutes after the top of the hour. Liz Peek is with us, columnist for FoxNews.com and the Fiscal Times. Ms. Liz, I was just talking to you about this new report that came down. Penny Hoarder was reporting on it. It actually came from the Federal Reserve Bank of New York that released a fresh labor market survey that shines a new light on how the job situation looks in the U.S. And one of the headlines of this is that women are leaving the workforce at a staggering rate. And I thought that was interesting because, you know, the next step was, and they're not coming back. And that's hard for me to connect that. I can see people maybe transitioning pregnancies, that sort of thing, you know, that might take women away, but with no plan to come back. And I'm not sure how that number stands comparatively with future reports. Any idea on this?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the participation of women in the workforce rises and falls typically, I think, with economic cycles. When things are better and women are having babies and young people in particular decide to stay home, it's generally because their husband has a job and can afford to let that happen or they can afford to do it. So I don't know. I'd have to take a look at that and kind of look at the factors behind it. But you know, the whole question of workforce participation and whether or not the beneficence of government programs has dissuaded some people from working is not limited to men, right? I mean, those same factors can arise with women as well. And, you know, historically it's been the case that when pay via welfare and food stamps and so forth ends up being roughly 85-90% of what a minimum wage job could pay, then people, in fact, decide not to work. So
exactly.
Whether that's here at play or not, I'm not sure. Certainly, we have seen with the increase in Medicaid and food stamps over the last decade, really, that, you know, a lot of people may be in considering those kinds of trade-offs. I don't really know.
Yeah, I've been most concerned about this, and I think you and I talked about this before, and that is that kind of black labor market that is out there that gets paid under the table. And, you know, we talk about repatriating trillions of dollars that are offshore right now, and I had questioned, you know, how many millions of dollars are just under the table operating right now in our, you know, in our marketplace that we're not accounting for. And somehow we've got to be able to repatriate and bring them back into the fold, because in some cases, and I'm sure people of conscience are, you know, having to reconcile, okay, well, I'm double dipping here. I'm getting all the benefits, but I'm working, you know, getting cash money under the table because the way the economy has been. You know, that is one of those things that's not being addressed that was needs some healing. And the only thing that's going to heal it, as we've talked again about, Liz, is productivity, is more jobs, even though, you know, this administration has you know, we've increased the job number to about a million new jobs now since he's become president.
The job creation has gone along at a pretty steady pace. And you're right. What we really need to augment that to really boost wages is productivity increases. Companies can't really afford to pay more wages unless the productivity of labor goes up.
Mm-hmm.
And that really comes back to business investment. All these things really highlight the incredible importance of tax reform. Tax reform, what they're hoping to do is really overhaul the way businesses are taxed and including, by the way, encouraging investment through tax incentives and also lowering rates on individuals and companies. And the history has been, as you well know, that when you lower rates, you get more revenues. And part of the reason, by the way, is just what you were talking about earlier, the black market or the gray market, if you will, people dealing off the books tends to decline when you bring rates down. It becomes, again, an economic decision that they'd rather not getting into trouble by operating in the shadows than paying a lower tax rate. So hopefully, I really think this is sort of do or die going forward. I really think it's important for the Republicans to focus on tax reform. It's important for the president to focus on tax reform. I was very disappointed in a way that he didn't spend more time on that in Phoenix rather than ranting about the media. I know that's kind of red meat for the crowd, but you know what? It's more important now rather than just blasting the media to actually get something done. That is becoming a recurring you know, demand on the part
exactly.
of voters, and I think rightly so.
Mm-hmm.
We're ready. You know, enough of the screaming and yelling. Let's put our shoulder to the wheel here. And here's the thing: Obamacare repeal and replace was a mess from the beginning because there was no bill that really had the buy-in from the White House and Senate and House. If you remember, the House had a bill, but that was sort of done distinct from the Senate and the House and the
it was
White
a mean
House.
It was a mean bill. It became
yeah,
a mean bill too.
No, exactly. I mean, Trump surely didn't yeah. help by sort yeah. of describing it in that way. The tax reform, there is the Big Six, which I'm sure you know, is Kevin Brady and also Paul Ryan and also Orrin Hatch in the Senate and McConnell and two guys from Gary Cohn and also Steve Mnuchin from the administration. They are all crafting the tax reform package. Everyone is committed to this. And so that is a very different starting place. And I'm hopeful that because of that, the White House is going to undertake a serious campaign to sell this thing. They're going to sell it, and this has already begun via an advocacy group, as a middle-class tax reform package. And that is exactly what they need to do. They need to explain to Americans why it is that lowering rates on, for example, subchapter S corporations and other small businesses is mm-hmm. going to really do a lot of good for hiring. Now, the Democrats are going to scream and yell about the 1% getting a tax break. And Chuck Schumer is not stupid. He knows that's basically a lie. He knows that 1% number includes, I would say, mostly small businesses that are filing as individuals.
Exactly.
So Schumer is not going to give any room on this. They're not going to participate. It's going to have to be done through reconciliation. It's going to be messy because the Freedom Caucus is going to yell and scream about budget deficits, et cetera, because the crafters of this are going to have to, you know, pull rabbits out of hats to make it mm-hmm. look revenue neutral. But you know what? It really needs to be done, Bill. And I hope that this is a moment which will require and allow the White House and both branches of the government to get in the same boat.
Exactly. And I agree wholeheartedly with you. I think more important than health care reform. They get this down. This is going to carry them through, you know, through the midterms. And the Democrats understand this.
Yeah,
this is why they're really locked down. Their heels are not moving whatsoever on this issue because, this is, you know, the line in the sand, you know, for them is that, if the Republicans have success on this. But I would agree that, also that, you know, that corporate rate needs to be, you know, they're talking in the 20s again. I stay at 15. That's plenty. It can work. The other deal is you cannot step away. I think it was suggested that Republicans might even be open to not even address, the rest of the
individual rate.
And
yeah.
I think that's dangerous. I think it has to go hand in glove, and they've got to be ready to fall on their sword for this.
Well, I think so, too. I think, obviously, the bigger, the better. I mean, they have an opportunity here. Let's not screw this up. And I hope that the Rand Pauls and John McCain's and various other people who really hate this president, I hope they can put the country first, because that's what has to happen.
Well, we can hope and pray that that would be the case. And,
yeah.
And I tell you, you know, maybe on this break, they've got enough of hell and what have you from their local constituency to tell them to get back to work. And it's up to us, we the people, to get on the phones and let our elected officials know that this is unacceptable, that we demand tax reform. That should happen. Repeal, replace, that's a whole other issue. And you and I could talk about that in another day, because I'm on the movement, Liz, that we can repeal and replace on our very own, because a lot of people are doing that right now. They're not waiting on the government. They're making their own health care decisions, which I think is very positive. Liz Peek has been with us. Always good to have you, Liz. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Take care. Have a great day. You got
it. You too. Bye.
29 minutes after the top of the hour right now.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-536-4436. That's 800-536-4436. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-536-4436.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Cal Bend Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's F-I-V-E starsoap.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
Across the country, on your smartphone, and around the world, you've tuned in to Bill Martinez Live.
Hooray for Hollywood, that phony super coney Hollywood. They come from Chillicothe and Paducah with their bazookas to get their names up in lights. Hooray for Hollywood.
This is Bill Martinez Live.
It's the way you like me. Fresh every day, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. Welcome back. Ed Conner joins us, New York Times bestselling author, American Enterprise Institute visiting scholar, and former partner with Bain Capital. Always good to have Ed joining us, and we're going to take advantage of his brilliance and insight. Ed, you got some splaining to do. Maybe you can help us understand, the unraveling of our country right before our eyes here, huh?
Well, one of the things I argue in my recent Wall Street Journal op-ed is that if you look forward into the future, as baby boomers retire, the Congressional Budget Office expects spending to increase 8 to 9% of GDP. That drives spending over 40 to 45% of GDP, which takes growth-crushing tax increases to pay for, and so. In that op-ed, I try to find a solution to the problem which avoids taxes, and that is increasing high-skilled immigration along the lines that President Trump was suggesting.
Exactly. Well, there's lots of gold in them thar hills. We just have to kind of get out of the partisanship. And this is what I appreciate, what you bring, to the conversation here, Ed, is, some sobriety, because there's lots of passions, falling, coming at us right now. And a lot, I would say, from the lunatic fringe, and on both sides, the extreme left and right of the bell curve, as you know. And, Main Street America is going, hey, look it, I just want to get back to work.
Boy, I think that's right. And I think people have looked very short term at the issue because, I do think that immigration potentially does put pressure on wages. So people are against having any pressure put on their wages. But I think they look only at that and they don't look to the long term. which is how are we going to feed these baby boomers? And we have to do more than just feed them. Okay, we have to be able to defend ourselves against the Chinese and other economic rivals 30 years from now after we've gotten done paying for all these baby boomers. You know, the Chinese economy is going to be bigger than ours in about 10 to 15 years if the projections come true. So we have to be in a position at that time to grow fast enough so that we're still going to be able to rival them in the world economy. And if we jack up taxes and increase spending, which it's unlikely we're going to get out of paying for all the baby boomers who retire. I'm not suggesting that we should either. I'm looking for a solution for how we pay for them and not put ourselves in jeopardy strategically, defensively.
Well, you know, what people need to be careful of, and I think this is, what some of the most sober pundits are considering here, like yourself, Ed, is that, you know, we don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. I mean, there's this nationalistic movement which the media would try to, color as far as, the perspective and the worldview of the Donald Trump administration. But I don't hear him. I hear him saying, you know, that we're still looking at skills-based immigration. I mean, the immigration system right now is broken because of particularly what happened in the last two previous administrations, that they decided to basically break the law. And if you break the law, it's like, okay, well, what are you going to fix it with? Well, we're just going to leave it hanging and broken. Well, no wonder it's a mess. So, and I think job one for this administration and Jeff Sessions has been, hey, look, we're going to bring the law back into play. That's a good start. And then we can start looking at immigration that is effective and it works and answers the future needs of this country, as you point out.
Yeah, we issue about 1 million green cards a year currently. The current proposal is to reduce that to probably 500,000. But we have about 120 million full-time workers in the country. So the top 5% of those workers is about 6 million workers. We're issuing 1 million green cards a year. We could double the number of top 5% talent in fairly short order. And in today's economy, what's really driving growth is innovation and technological innovation, and that requires some of the highest levels of technological skill to be able to manufacture it. The U.S. has been way out in front of the rest of the world in doing it. We've gotten very little help from anybody else, any of the other high-wage economies. And if we double the number of people in the top 5%, we could potentially double our growth rate. We have no other alternative for increasing our growth that much. Tax reform would help, but it helps a little. It doesn't help a lot. And we simply can't get there through organic growth alone. And if you look at these top performers in our tax code, in the top 20% of taxpayers are paying about $50,000 a year more in taxes than they're consuming in government services. At the middle of the wage scale, the median wage is paying about as much in taxes as they're consuming in government services. So if you want to get more tax revenue to pay for retiring baby boomers and still have enough money left over to fund defense, you need high-end taxpayers who are going to pay a lot more in taxes than are going to consume in government services to get there. So my strategy is let's go out to the rest of the world and do it. I'd like to think that we could do it with education, and we should make every effort we can to improve the quality of education in the country. We can do that simultaneously with this strategy, but if we wait for education to do it, if it can do it at all, it could take 20, 30, 40 years before that fully suffuses into the workforce.
I agree, and I think there needs to be a sense of urgency on this, and I appreciate you bringing this perspective because this is something that's not been articulated and maybe blocked out, that we do need this skilled-based immigration resource, to maximize this opportunity. It's like having a professional ball team. Why would you not want to have a franchise player on your team? And we've got to look at those franchise players throughout the marketplace in America and outside, but particularly when you're talking about immigration outside of the country that can come in and make an immediate difference, right?
Yeah, well, two things. One is we're already hiring those guys. I mean, if you go to Silicon Valley, they're all Skyped in on the telephone. They happen to be sitting in Romania, right? But they're working on over the telephone, over Skype, doing all the work anyways. And when that happens, we don't get their tax revenue. Romania gets their tax revenue. And our workforce doesn't get to educate their children, tend to their medical needs, wait on their tables. So we don't get the demand that it puts on labor, on jobs and on wages that we would get from having those people here instead of having them of calling in on the phone. And if you look at the supply of those people, there's about 7 billion non-Americans. 5% would be 350 million. Half of them, we don't know who they are. Half of them are too young and too old. Half of them will probably never move. But you get down to a pool of about 40 million people who represent this talent pool of franchise players, of which another 5 million would potentially double our growth rate. So it's a very achievable goal. And we're issuing 1 million green cards a year. So if we went out and said, well, let's issue 1 million franchise players.
Yes.
By the way, if we issue those to 25-year-olds, they don't have families, they don't have children, they don't have wives. We can get one ultra-high-skill worker for every green card that we issue instead of having to issue five to get one, you know, four or five to get one full-time worker. So there's a real opportunity there, and it's a real the math adds up so that that strategy would work.
Well, you're exactly right. I mean, if we're already paying the money out, I mean, but we're just not taking – we're not getting the full benefit of the investment that's going out when we're dealing with people, like you say, through Skype and these other technological channels that are available today. And this is a bit of a warning, isn't it, if we continue on with this kind of, this kind of process, Ed?
Well, I think we get some benefits in the short run by closing down immigration, but we have great problems in the long run if we try to go there.
Well, therein lies the dynamic tension here, and can government, because they're the ones that are going to manage this, can they step up and manage this in such a way to where, you know, our national security is in place, and that, as you've written about before, the unintended consequences, you know, that we can minimize some of those?
Be nice to think they can. So far, they haven't been able to do it. You know, the Democrats, they want to link this to low-skilled immigration. I don't think our president's willing to do that. I think you've got guys on the right who are very worried about culture and nationalism.
Exactly. Ed, we got to hit the pause button because we got to go to break. More from Ed Conard after this. Stay with us.
Know that with a bachelor's degree, on average, you could make almost twice as much over a lifetime than a person with just a high school diploma? It's true. According to the 2012 U.S. Census Bureau, college grads with a bachelor's degree make almost twice as much as high school grads. Now, going back to school is easier than ever at Independence University. Log on and complete coursework from the park or the beach or even your couch watching the kids. And Independence University gives you the tools, a free tablet and laptop for undergrad students to use and keep when they graduate. That's right. Get a laptop so you can go to college from anywhere. Take the first step to a new career in business, information technology, healthcare, or graphic arts. Call to find the online degree program that's right for you. And you could be on your way to increasing your earning potential.
800-981-9347. 800-981-9347. 9347. That's 800-981-9347.
If you are age 85 or younger, call to learn more about final expense plans from a licensed agent in the Angel Care Network. The average funeral now costs over $10,000. Are you at risk of leaving loved ones to help pay your debts? A final expense policy for seniors can pay up to $30,000 for funeral and other final expenses. You don't need a medical exam, and you can have lifetime coverage, and the policy cannot be canceled. To receive free information about final expense plans from a licensed agent in the Angel Care Network, call now. You'll also receive information about a free prescription discount card just for calling in. Agents are standing by.
Call 800-540-8816. 800-540-8816. 800-540-8816. Call now. That's 800-540-8816.
Fully cooked, ready to eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready to eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and served. Life-saving, ready to eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-557-0158. That's 800-557-0158. Again, 800-557-0158.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Lower taxes, less government, and self-reliance. They live here. Bill Martinez, live.
It's a hand-in-hand kind of proposition, ladies and gentlemen. You want freedom? Well, you got to step up and live up to the responsibility of it all. And the ball is in our court because this is a government of, for, and by we, the people. 14 minutes before the top of the hour, our conversation with Ed Conard continues. New York Times bestselling author, American Enterprise Institute visiting scholar, and the former partner with Bain Capital, as we were talking about his latest op-ed piece, America's Got Talent, But Not Nearly Enough. Putting into perspective that it might be a little bit of the correct observation, wrong conclusion from the president in regard to cutting back the number of green cards. Sounds good on the surface, but in practicality, why would you not want, as we use the illustration of a professional baseball team, if I could draft a lot of number four hitters into the lineup, why would I not do that?
Yeah, if you make immigration skill based, then I don't think there's any reason to cut the number from 500,000 to 1,000,000. I think part of the reason why he's doing that is he doesn't want to put pressure on low skill wages by increasing the supply of low skilled labor, which is where immigration has been. Now, he has set standards for skill levels, but he sets the standards so high that it's almost impossible for anybody in the world to jump over those standards. If he lowered those standards a little bit, I mean, I think he's up in the top 1 or 2% by the time you get through his scoring system. If he lowered that to the top 5%, I think you get a very rich pool of talent that you can draw on to try to increase the growth rate of the economy. I suggested hiring or trying to recruit engineers and science and technology majors, because if you look at the highest scoring Americans, they have moved towards business, they've moved towards the law, they've moved towards commerce. What you've seen from the success of the United States is a combination of business and technology really produces higher growth and faster productivity. If you look at Japan, where they produce many more engineers than we do, they haven't gotten the productivity growth. Europe produces a disproportionate number of engineers relative to business majors. So the rest of the world is trying to catch up on business, but they're all pumping out a surplus of engineers. Mm-hmm. We have a shortage of engineers, particularly software programmers. We're probably about a third of the programmers that we need in terms of graduation rates. We have to retrain a lot of people to be programmers who haven't graduated to do it. And we hire a lot of people, as I said, through Skype over the phone around the rest of the world to program rather than bringing those people here. So there's a very rich, talent pool out there for us to draw on.
Well, the thing is, I'm looking at here, Ed, maybe you as well, is that if we don't do it, China's going to sit there and say, thank you very much for the, we'll make the opportunity available. Because what it comes down to, and as I was discussing this here recently with a small business owner, You know, it's about opportunity. I mean, she was all excited because, you know, she's got these this new breed of millennials that are coming in, and she's afforded them what I call a canvas to paint on, you know, to exercise their talents and their giftings. And these kids are thriving, and her business is thriving. And I love to see that because when people are exercising their gifts and talents, I don't think it gets better than that.
Yes, and I do think it's certainly the case that China will Skype those engineers in as fast as their industry grows and it needs them. The interesting thing about the United States is our institutions, the opportunity to get on-the-job training at a company like Google or Facebook or to work in a community of experts like Silicon Valley, those really increase the productivity of our workforce relative to the rest of the world. And it has large spillover effects to the rest of our economy, where we just have more computer programmers, better trained computer programmers, and people like that, business people, startup experts, the finance that goes around it. That magnifies the productivity of our most productive workers. So when we bring talented workers from the rest of the world and put them into our productivity-enhancing institutions, they get way more productive than they would be anywhere else in the world. And as they subsequently earn a lot more money than anywhere else in the world.
That's
as well.
Right.
And so you look at those talented people and they're in Europe, wherever, in the Far East, all over the world. By coming to the United States, they get way, way more productive. They get way more innovative. The returns for risk-taking are higher. They get more entrepreneurial. If you look at billion-dollar startups in Silicon Valley, they're predominantly started by immigrants. If you look at CEOs in Silicon Valley, very large percentage of them are immigrants. If you look at the computer programmers and other technicians, like almost 75% of them are immigrants. So the rest of the world gets way more productive. Everybody gets way more productive when they come here.
All boats are rising here. What about assimilation, Ed? I got to imagine if you're here in the United States and you're productive, you're being blessed, your family is being taken care of, it's a little bit easier to assimilate, isn't it?
Right, sure. And anybody who makes the effort to come all the way here is certainly going to be a lot more eager to assimilate as well. I do think if you get people on the far right who have very nationalistic concerns and concerns about the culture, you could always put demographic controls on immigration and just say, look, we're not going to change the mix of the people that we have here. We're simply going to enhance the quality of the talent, because we can go anywhere in the world and find ultra-talented people to bring.
Well, what I'm still witnessing, Ed, and tell me if I'm wrong here, but what I'm witnessing, this is more anecdotal, so certainly, you know, we're in the realm of the opinion here, is that America is still very neighborly. I mean, in the neighborhoods that I go through, you know, you get the whole gamut. I mean, I was at a church here recently, and the pastor asked people, you know, of the cultures and backgrounds and that sort of thing. We found that just at that service of about 1,200 people in the sanctuary there was 172 cultures represented in the sanctuary.
Wow.
And, you know, which is quite amazing. And, there people weren't throwing spitballs. We didn't see Bibles flying across the aisles because somebody was from another country. All getting along and, sharing the things that they have in common and sharing the things that they didn't have in common, like foods and all those good things, which are great to share. So I still find the neighborhoods of America still very friendly and amenable as long as you're demonstrating that, you're for the greater good. You know, it's that old Western movie type of thing that we grew up when we were kids. You know, they always asked them at the city limits, are you friend or foe? You know, they want to make sure if they were wearing a white hat or a black hat, right?
I definitely think that's true, and I think that growth, there's a great book written by the head of the economics department at Harvard a long time ago about how growth increases morality. People get a lot more neighborly in a growthful environment than they do in an environment that where it's either slow growing or worse, even declining. So to the extent that you accelerate the growth, I think you make the community even more neighborly than it otherwise would be inclined to be, which is pretty neighborly regardless. The second thing I think it does is, you know, one of the things that is the low-skill workers depend on high-skill workers to design products, that are competitive, that put them to work, and processes that make those products and those services competitive, and to supervise low-skill labor to make it more productive in the workplace. And all that productivity increases the wages of lower-skilled labor. So to the extent that you increase the pool of high-skilled labor, the ratio of high-skilled to low-skilled labor is partially responsible, probably largely responsible, for the productivity of low-skilled workers. So you can potentially drive up the productivity and drive up the wages and drive up the competitiveness of that sector of the workforce. And it would benefit as much, if not more, from this than the high-skilled sector, where you would be increasing the amount of competition for high-skilled labor, you know, by adding to the supply of it. But if you look over time, you know, the highest-skilled workers, their incomes have grown faster than the economy, while the lowest-skilled workers, their incomes have grown slower than the economy on average. So you should be looking for ways to increase the wage levels of the lower-skilled workers.
Yeah, exactly. And I hope people are understanding and connecting the linkage here that we're demonstrating, again, using the baseball analogy, when all of a sudden you had these baseball players, these franchise players coming on the scene here and making these mega millions of dollars, it's like one ball player who was, just an everyday player, not making the big bucks like a franchise player, said, hey, he loves it because this opens up the window, right?
Yeah,
this makes for the pathway, right? Go ahead.
And unlike, I mean, in sports is a very good analogy, but unlike sports where it's a little bit of a zero-sum game, one person wins and one person loses, in the economy, when the pie grows bigger, virtually everybody can be a winner in that in that environment. So when you bring in a franchise player who goes out and creates an iPhone, that makes the world, that makes life better for everybody at all levels of skill.
Mm-hmm. Well, Ed, I appreciate it. Great job on the op-ed here, and I'm glad that we could have you on to shed some light on this and to offer some balance, because this is the challenge that politics has brought into our perspective here, is that we got to be careful not to think in terms of mine like the dodo birds in Finding Nemo, that we need to really look at the consequences, unintended and intended, and the linkage that's involved here by implementing an effective skills-based immigration program.
No, I think it's critical when you look forward into the future, and maybe people won't be ready for it this year, but as the years roll by, they're going to recognize this is the only solution to America's future.
Well, if we're going to do what Donald Trump has said on a campaign trail, he continues to sing out his mantra that America will win again, well, then we need to open up the doors of opportunity to make that happen, don't we?
Sure. Nothing like a few franchise hitters to win.
Amen. Let's bring the franchise players in. You got it. I'm with you. Ed Conard. I'm Bill Martinez live. Ed is the New York Times bestselling author, visiting scholar with the American Enterprise Institute, and former partner with Bain Capital. Ed, thank you again. Appreciate the perspective.
Bill, thank you.
If food became scarce, would you be able to feed yourself and your family? Have you found some emergency food supplies can cost upwards of $300 for a month's supply? And worst of all, they're packed with chemicals and other unpronounceable ingredients. At 30dayfood.com, our mission is to provide you with food that's not only healthy and natural, but also affordable. At 30dayfood.com, for only $127, you can order meals that are naturally high in fiber, carbs, and protein, packaged in Mylar bags with oxygen absorbers for a superior shelf life. For a limited time only, your order ships free, but that's not all. Enter promo code PREP10 to receive 10% off your entire order. Call 800-700-2184 today. 30dayfood.com keeps prices low by buying directly from suppliers in the Pacific Northwest, then passing the savings along to you. Go to 30dayfood.com or call 800-700-2184 for the most cost-effective and healthy food storage solution. That's 30dayfood.com at 800-700-2184.